While the U.S. budget showdown goes on, Portugal looks for help from the EU.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. With time running out, the latest budget negotiations again have failed to pull the U.S. government from the brink of shutting down. The world, of course, is watching our budget battle, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But a lot of eyes right now are on Portugal. Their money woes have forced that country to ask the European Union for a bailout of at least $85 billion. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest now. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
First Greece, then Ireland, now Portugal. Should we be watching for more countries needing bailouts?
Well, analysts at Goldman Sachs say no, Portugal will be the last, but it all depends on the performance of other troubled economies like Spain, for example. If it fails to grow this year, it could need a bailout, and that would be a really big problem for the Eurozone.
And the European Central Bank, Stephen, is expected to raise interest rates today to battle inflation. That can't help.
No, certainly not. But as you say, they're worried about inflation from higher oil and commodity prices. However, here's the thing. The U.S. Fed is facing a similar level of inflation in the States, but it's keeping rates on hold. So who's right, the Fed or the ECB? Analyst Simon Tilford says the Fed. He says if the ECB raises rates today, it will have blundered.
I think the case for raising Eurozone interest rates at this juncture is very weak. Given the uncertainty across Europe, it would do no harm at all just to delay this.
By the way, if the ECB, as expected, does raise rates today, it will be the first time in 40 years that a key European central bank will have acted in this way ahead of the Fed.
Wow. All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
As we said, the budget issues here at home are coming to a head, and other countries have taken an interest in the U.S.'s ongoing saga. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
The European press is intrigued by the political theatrics of the past week, but the European financial sector isn't really concerned just yet about the US budget woes. Gabriel Stein is the director of Lombard Street Research, which looks at macroeconomic forecasting. He says there's no reason to worry in the short term because the US government isn't at risk of defaulting.
But of course it is a problem that the US does have a very dysfunctional budget process, and over the long term, the US needs to deal with the inexorable rise of the entitlements, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security.
Stein says if it doesn't do that, then there will eventually be a real problem with the US government and the value of its debt.
If people fear that the US can't service all its debt, they will demand a higher interest rate in order to hold that debt.
If that happens, the US would either be forced to balance its books or the country could face the risk of inflation. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are flat right now. The United Nations said today its food price index fell slightly last month, first drop in 8 months. So much for an anti-tax sentiment. Voters in St. Louis and Kansas City, Missouri, overwhelmingly renewed earnings taxes there yesterday. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 32 points to close at 12,426.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years, on the web at Chevy.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
We're going to get the latest unemployment gauge in about an hour and a half with a look at first-time weekly jobless claims. Indeed, fewer people have been collecting unemployment benefits and instead are collecting paychecks. But the recovery has been better for men than women. St. Louis Public Radio's Adam Allington reports.
In 2009, economists were calling it the mancession. That's because most of the jobs lost were in male-dominated sectors like manufacturing and construction. Now we could be seeing a mancovery, says St. Louis University economist Jack Strauss. But the jobs picture for women is going in the opposite direction.
The private sector has been creating jobs. The manufacturing sector has been slowly rebounding. But what's been going on is we've been losing jobs in education. We've been losing jobs in local and state governments. Those jobs are primarily populated by women.
According to the Labor Department, of the 1.3 million jobs created last year, nearly 90% went to men. But the unemployment rate among women actually rose and is expected to rise even higher as more people like Kimberly Hopkins lose their jobs.
I did receive a notice of honorable dismissal.
Hopkins is a speech therapist for the East St. Louis School District. The district plans to lay off nearly 300 teachers this summer.
Oh, it means everything for me and my family. I'm a single parent, as well as I take care of my elderly mother. So my income is substantial to the household.
The Labor Department says the unemployment rate among single mothers is 12.3%. Joan Entmacher is the Vice President for Family Economic Security at the National Women's Law Center in Washington, D.C. She says women faced greater risks from unemployment even before the recession.
This is an extremely vulnerable group. Lower pay, less savings. They're more likely to be single parents. More than half of all poor children live with single mothers. So the high unemployment there is a real crisis.
Entmacher cautions that the threat of long-term unemployment affects both men and women and could weigh down any recovery for years to come. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, if the federal government does shut down tomorrow night, non-essential employees won't be the only ones temporarily out of work. Their government-issued smartphones will get the boot as well. An administration official tells the Wall Street Journal, if a federal worker is furloughed, it is illegal to work, a criminal violation. That includes looking at and responding to work-related emails. One government staffer says she's thinking about a 12-step BlackBerry withdrawal program. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The Mad Dog of the Middle East was once hailed as a national hero who stood up to the oil companies and got Libya a good deal.
It is the oil money, the petrodollars, that's made Gaddafi, the man who was liberating his oil industry.
I'm Bob Moon. That same oil wealth has now transformed Gaddafi into an internationally loathed tyrant. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.